When I hit the curve, I hauled the wheel round desperately to the right, the tyre spun for a second in the stones and loose soil of the verge, and we were off again. This was a longer stretch, and even steeper, and it was like being on the Big Dipper with the same feeling of lack of control over one's fate. Hurtling into the bend, the idea of turning at this speed was preposterous, but it was that, or straight over the edge. Terror-stricken, I closed my eyes and dragged the wheel to the left. This time, one side of the car lifted, and I was sure we were over. Then it rocked back onto the other side, and for a horrible second or two kept this up, till it finally decided to stay upright, and I was once more on my way. Again, a yawning gradient. But as the car sped downwards, engine howling, I was aware of a curious numbness. I seemed to have reached the ultimate limits of fear, and I hardly noticed as we shot round the third bend. One more to go, and at last the road was levelling out. My speed dropped rapidly, and at the last bend I couldn't have been doing more than 20. I had made it. It wasn't till I was right onto the final straight that I saw the sheep. Hundreds of them, filling the road. A river of woolly backs lapping from wall to wall. They were only yards from me and I was still going downhill. Without hesitation, I turned and drove straight into the wall. There didn't seem to be much damage. A few stones slithered down as the engine stalled and fell silent. Slowly I sank back in my seat, relaxing my clenched jaws, releasing finger by finger the fierce grip on the wheel. The sheep continued to flow past, and I took a sideways glance at the man who was shepherding them. He was a stranger to me, and I prayed he didn't recognize me either, because at that moment the role of unknown madman seemed to be the ideal one. Best not to say anything. Appearing round a corner and driving deliberately into a wall is no basis for a rewarding conversation. The sheep were still passing by, and I could hear the man calling to his dogs.
"Get by, Jess. Come by, Nell."
But I kept up a steady stare at the layered stones in front of me, even though he passed within a few feet. I suppose some people would have asked me what the hell I was playing at, but not a Dale shepherd. He went quietly by without invading my privacy, but when I looked in the mirror after a few moments, I could see him in the middle of the road staring back at me, his sheep temporarily forgotten. My breakless period has always been easy to recall. There is a piercing clarity about the memory which has kept it fresh over the years. I suppose it lasted only a few weeks, but it could have gone on indefinitely if Siegfried himself hadn't become involved. It was when we were going to a case together. For some reason, he decided to take my car and settled in the driver's seat. I huddled apprehensively next to him as he set off at his usual brisk pace. Hinchcliffe's farm lies about a mile on the main road outside Derby. It is a massive place with a wide, straight drive leading down to the house. We weren't going there, but as Siegfried spurted to full speed, I could see Mr. Hinchcliffe and his big Buick ahead of us, proceeding in a leisurely way along the middle of the road. As Siegfried pulled out to overtake, the farmer suddenly stuck out his hand and began to turn right towards his farm, directly across our path. Siegfried's foot went hard down on the brake pedal, and his eyebrows shot up as nothing happened. We were going straight for the side of the Buick, and there was no room to go round to the left. Siegfried didn't panic. At the last moment, he turned right with the Buick, and the two cars roared side by side down the drive, Mr. Hinchcliffe staring at me with bulging eyes from close range. The farmer stopped in the yard, but we continued round the back of the house, because we had to. Fortunately, it was one of those places where you could drive right round, and we rattled through the stackyard and back to the front of the house behind Mr. Hinchcliffe, who had got out and was looking round the corner to see where we had gone. The farmer whipped round in astonishment, and open-mouthed watched us as we passed, but Siegfried, retaining his aplomb to the end, inclined his head and gave a little wave before we shot back up the drive. Before we returned to the main road, I had a look back at Mr. Hinchcliffe. He was still watching us, and there was a certain rigidity in his pose which reminded me of the shepherd. Once on the road, Siegfried steered carefully into a lay-by and stopped. For a few moments he stared straight ahead without speaking, and I realized he was having a little difficulty in getting his patient look properly adjusted. But when he finally turned to me, his face was transfigured, almost saintly. I dug my nails into my palms as he smiled at me with kind eyes.
Really, James?
I can't understand why you keep things to yourself. Heaven knows how long your car has been in this condition, yet never a word from you. He raised a forefinger, and his patient look was replaced by one of sorrowing gravity.
Don't you realize we might have been killed back there?
You really ought to have told me.